And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
How to wipe your butt with one square of toilet paper. You get the square, fold it over once, fold it over a second time, tear off the middle corner, save it for later. Now you're going to want to stick your finger through the hole, do your business, carefully wipe your finger off, but then it's all under your fingernail. Ah, but you remember that little corner piece? And that's how you wipe your butt with one square of toilet paper. Finger heart.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, November 20th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! Ooh. And last but not least, over yonder, filling in for J.D., it's our guy, Eshua Kidd.
How y'all doing?
What's up, Esh? Good to see you. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love that. Smash that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Share the show. And podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Our bosses are watching. Okay, Monday, winners and losers of the NBA weekend. But before that, guys, we had another wedgie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Friday night.
Oh, we love it.
Why not? Onyeka Okongwu for the Hawks. Sticking a little sort of hook shot, sort of floater. Wedgie there in Atlanta.
That was in Atlanta.
Yeah, the in-season tournament court there.
Blue boy.
Yes.
A nice court.
So we are up to 4. We'll take every single wedgie we can get right now. Good stuff, Onyeka. Okay, weekend winners. Look, we got a whole lot to unpack here. Tass, get us started. Who's your big winner of the weekend?
I'm starting with the Milwaukee Bucks because the season started with them 5-4. Oh, things weren't going well. People were talking about Adrian Griffin. Is he good enough to coach this team? Well, they've won 4 straight. Things look great, especially Damian Lillard. Not as the number one guy. No. That's not why they went and got him. It's to be the number two guy, and it's worked out perfectly, especially against Dallas on Saturday night. It looked really great for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was cooking. He had 37, 5 minutes left in this game. They're up 1 on the Mavs. But then Damian Lillard let everything go through him as the number two guy. 4 straight possessions. The team scored 11 points, blowing it open, and Giannis didn't touch it once. It was just through Dame. I loved what he was doing with Brook Lopez. A pick and roll? Here, I'll give it to you. A pick and pop with Brook Lopez? Here, no problem. I'll shoot that 3 and make it. I'll pass it out to Pat Connaughton on another attempt. They cooked, and it was running through Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard loves this. You know, he used to be a 60-point guy with Portland, but he has said, and even post-game, he said, it was great then. But now we can go out and win. This is about winning. This isn't about me scoring 50. Some nights it's going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo scoring plenty, and some nights it'll be me helping out. 11 points and 2 assists over the last 5 for him. He had 27 overall. Giannis had 40. And that's how you win. They beat the Dallas Mavericks. This is why they got Damian Lillard. Exactly that. And they're moving the ball a little bit more. The 2 games over the weekend, about 60 assists, so 30 per game. That's good for this Bucks offense. They got to work on the defense a little bit, no doubt, but they've got a great offense. And they beat Dallas on Saturday. I didn't even mention the game against the Hornets on Friday, but I will show you a great clip because they spanked Charlotte. Yeah. But Chris Middleton had this play where he looked like he was shooting and made the perfect pass. It looked like a shot, but it just slipped out of his hands to Malik Beasley, who got a 3 out of it.
So was this credited as an assist to Middleton?
I would think so.
You would hope so.
It just literally slipped out of his hands. It's better than things that they give assists to. Like, they credit assists, right? Because
yeah.
It was just Malik Beasley didn't have to dribble the ball. He just shot it.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect pass.
It's either got to be a shot attempt or an assist.
For Basketball Reference,
Neither.
It's nothing.
Nothing. There's nothing in the box score about it.
What a mystery.
Brooke Lopez grabs a rebound on the other end, and the next thing you see, Malik Beasley, three-pointer, apparently unassisted. I don't know. It's got to be a shot attempt or a pass. Like you're saying, Tass, we see a lot of assists where it's like, you pass it to a guy, he does two crossovers, a Euro step into the lane and finishes. Somehow that's an assist. But Chris Middleton, with the eyes in the back of his jump shot, finding Malik Beasley from the top, of course he was ready to shoot.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like, I'll shoot this even if you're shooting it. Great stuff, though. And like you're saying, the way that the Bucks played this against the Mavericks was just perfect, right? Like, that's what you want to do. Giannis carries throughout the game, and Dame shuts the door. I guess Giannis did have kind of the dagger, a little pull-up jumper. He said after the game, it's a little bit different for me to not have the ball for such a long time. But when Lillard is looking so efficient with the Brooke Lopez pick and roll, I guess you got to just keep rolling with it.
Yeah. Good weekend for the Bucks there. They scored 262 points in their two games. That's not bad. Four wins in a row. And yeah, have improved to 9-4 after they had lost a couple there and were flirting around 500. They were 5-4. But, you know, they're back amongst the top of the Eastern Conference standings, a few games behind, you know, your Celtics and your Sixers, but right there.
There was some dirty talk about Adrian Griffin. Is he going to get this team together? There's dirty talk. Is this guy going to be the coach for the entire season? If you look at their defense, it's not so great in the 20s right now. Mm-hmm. That's not good. But their offense matches their championship offense. It was sixth when they won the championship in 2021. They still have to get their defense together, but I think it looks good in terms of the pecking order for their offense. And they ain't that far from number one seed in the Eastern Conference now that they've won some games here.
All right, Trey, who do you have for a winner of the weekend?
I got the Oklahoma City Thunder as a winner of the weekend. Played a Game of the Year candidate early on, at least on Saturday. Thunder take down the Warriors thanks to 40 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and a career-best game from Chet Holmgren. 36 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He was calling up a 5x5 to see if maybe they could get together after school. Not fully flirting yet, but maybe we could talk. Fantastic finish in this one, Skeets. Andrew Wiggins hits a 3 with 1.6 seconds left, his 4th three in the last 5 minutes of this game. The Warriors broadcast thought it was a game winner. The Warriors, I think, thought it was a game winner. They were so excited for Wiggins to have his breakout game, to hit that big shot off a fantastic offensive rebound by Looney, I think. Chet had played a pretty poor last minute of this game. He gave up the offensive rebound to Looney. He had dribbled out the clock, basically trying to get a three-pointer on the other end offensively. But there was enough time left after the Wiggins three for Chet to catch and shoot from the left corner. There's an awesome IG video going around from the courtside seats. The perfect shot of Chet's perfect shot. You can see how he somehow keeps his feet in bounds, gets the ball off pretty cleanly. And also, you know, shout out to the videographer, 0.5x on the camera.
Oh.
Makes everything look more cinematic.
Yeah.
An incredible shot by Chet. Talked his talk afterwards. Inappropriate for a stream here to be repeating it now that I know my dad watches on YouTube.
Oh, whoops.
Yep, sorry, Dad. Anyways, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander then went crazy in overtime. He outscored Golden State 10-6, 5-6 from the field. At one point, he hits a 3, then blocks a Steph Curry step back 3, and then finishes with a layup on the other side. And you're like, okay, give this guy the MVP right now. He got the MVP last over the weekend. 6 straight losses for Golden State.
Yeah.
Best game of the season, though, for Wiggins. That's encouraging, though he had 0 rebounds to go around with his 31 points, which is kind of hilarious. We need it on both ends, Wiggs. But, man, great weekend for the Thunder. That game was awesome. They also beat the Trailblazers by 43.
Yeah.
That was another game that happened.
Yeah, I was going to say. But, you know, honestly, sometimes we see a huge game, a Game of the Year candidate against I was going to say the Warriors are a really good team. Obviously, a team that have won a lot of championships. They're struggling right now. A well-established team. But then you see that team, like OKC, then have to travel up to Portland and have a letdown game. You know, you take your foot off the gas, you let the team hang around, maybe you can't shoot for whatever reason, you're not locked in, but that wasn't the case at all. Like, that's, to me, that was like, that win, the 43-point win over Portland after beating the Warriors over the weekend was like, that's like, oh, they are here. This is a really good team that we need to, like, have in the mix with all these other talented teams in the West. Like, this was like, that says more to me almost than pulling out the crazy victory when they should have probably lost with only a second to go. It's just as impressive in a weird way just to go hammer a shitty team.
Yeah, that was impressive. And Chet went 6-for-6 from the field in that game. Also had a couple of blocks. He had an incredible weekend. I mean, it won't be long, I think, before the odds flip from Wemby being the favorite for Rookie of the Year to Chet, just because the Thunder are looking like a realistic playoff team at the very least. They can finish top four in the Western Conference easy, and he's established himself as the number two guy next to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander already. Jalen Williams had a great game, I thought, against the Warriors. He didn't play against the Thunder, but man, that guy looks like he's put on 20 pounds of muscle. I don't understand it. This is a great team right now. Maybe they'll get figured out further down the line. They play pretty much five out. You can definitely crush them inside, but Chet provides enough rebounding and enough defensive deterrence that they're a scary team.
Yeah, and he'll probably gain some muscle at some point. I think he is. The fact that he has had a year of just chilling because he's been injured, you know, to some degree. So I think he came in strong. I like how we did the Bucks and the Thunder here to start off, because the Thunder are so good. They're 10-4. The only thing that really surprised me was that Josh Giddey didn't hug Chet Holmgren after he hit that tying shot right beside him. Right beside him. I don't know why you weren't excited.
Maybe, he was worried that, like, did he get it off in time? Did he step out of bounds? I don't know.
That was weird. I don't know. Maybe Josh is upset because Chet is their MVP. Obviously, SGA is awesome. Maybe Josh isn't getting enough love, but I think he should have hugged him. But this team looks super good. This team, we've talked about, they are just so deep amongst their starters. Like we just mentioned, Jalen Williams, he's their, you know, air quotes, fourth best starter with Giddey there, and Lu Dort's their fifth best starter. This team is just good.
Moving on, I'd like to give the Sacramento Kings a winner of the weekend. The Fox and the Ox. Write the children's book if it hasn't been done already. These guys are awesome right now. De'Aaron Fox was pretty special against the Spurs, went for 43 points in the first game for the Kings on the weekend, and then he followed it up against the Mavericks, 30 points, 7 assists, 4 boards, 3 steals, 0 turnovers. And Sabonis, the Ox in all of this, 32 points, 13 boards, and 6 assists. These two just dominant right now, and they complement each other's game so much. The Kings are 6-1 when Fox plays. I feel like they've only lost to two teams. Then they lose to the Rockets and the Warriors.
There you go.
I think those are the only teams they've struggled with this year. But they remind me, Sacramento, and their offense especially. There's this thing they do at running expos, I think I've showed you guys before, where they test people, like amateur runners like myself, they test to see how long they can hang at a world record pace. So you get on this like giant, like 20-foot-long treadmill, and it's really bouncy. And
I watched that yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well. People trying to match the world record holder.
Interesting. Okay, well, good.
They couldn't.
No, that's the thing. Like, most people, the speed that these men and women do their world record marathons at, the average person can run like it's like 50 meters they can run at that speed, 100 meters, whatever. And so my point of this is that's the Kings to me, is like the Mavs played really well for three quarters. And it's like, oh, they're keeping up. But it's like, no, they're going to keep doing this. They play at this pace, and this offense hums that you are going to tire at some point. Now, it was a back-to-back situation for Dallas. They had a lot of games recently, so that caught up to them, I think, and Luka. But the Kings, man, they just keep running, and they do not slow down. It's pretty awesome. They trailed for just 91 seconds in that game. And every time the Mavs made a run, they had an answer. Put the game away in the fourth quarter to the point where it was a blowout.
And they're deep. Five starters in double digits in this one. They're 3-0 on their six-game road trip to start it here. That's great. That's fantastic. It's a little OKC-like when I talk about the starters, because OKC is cooking. They beat Golden State back-to-back games. That's freaking hard to do. This Kings team is getting deeper now that Keegh and Kevin Huerter can hold their own.
Keegh and Kev.
You're not wrong. Hell, they had Chris Duarte helping out. I mean, he's been the one guy that's been pretty bad for them all season long. He had a good game in this last win. So, yeah, Kings are 8-4 now, 6-1, again, in the game Star Fox plays. And
he's unguardable right now.
It's nuts.
Because he's shooting a career-high 42% on threes, and he's taking a career-high 8 every game. He had 5 against the Spurs, 6 against Dallas. He's good in the mid-range. He's one of the fastest guys in the league. Yep. So if he's hitting catch-and-shoot threes, there's nothing you can do. That's why he's averaging 30 a game, and why Mike Brown is already campaigning for him to end up on an MVP list.
Oh, well,
a little early, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Leave it to the podcasters.
He's, I guess he's He's leading the league or tied with Embiid for points per game, but he hasn't played enough games because Fox missed a couple there. So a couple more under his belt, he will be near the top of that, you know, obviously going over 30 a game.
So 13 miles an hour is what they seem to be running
Jesus,
at, right?
Jesus, man.
You could do that.
I could do it for a little bit, but yeah, then I'm wiping out. It's nuts.
No, that's nuts.
It's mind-boggling. You got to see it in person. The speed that these men and women are running at for 26 miles, it's a sprint. It's a full-on sprint for people sprinting. That we can't even do for the most part.
Don't they have shoes that help them cheat, though?
They all have them, yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Super shoes. Bouncy. Yeah. They should
give you the world record holder shoes as well.
You should do it barefoot.
Yeah. Well, the runner should do it barefoot, so we know.
Wow.
It's all body, no feet.
All right, let's do another round here. Who do you have for another winner?
Well, a guy who is second in scoring currently, Kevin Durant, he's just feeling it. He's feeling it right now. Bradley Beal's out for the Phoenix Suns. Whatever. He's good enough. No problem. I think that's what Kevin Durant says. I think his MVP motivation or the MVP story gets a little bit better here without Bradley Beal out. We'll talk about his injury in a second. But this weekend, KD went 38-39 in two games, beating the Jazz a couple times. He's second scoring. Just keeps pumping it up. He's shooting nearly 50% from three. That's a good freaking number. And against the Jazz, against the Jazz on Friday night, about 10 seconds left, he got the ball beyond the 3-point line. They ran a couple plays, a couple ways to get him, Ochai Obagi, on him out way beyond the 3-point line. And KD just stepped into a three. Good night, his 6-3. And these numbers just get better, especially with Beal out at the beginning and Booker being his point guard beside him. First quarter, he scored or assisted on every basket. It just feels like this playoffs team is back. KD and Book, with Book sitting beside him. He had 15 assists. Book did one turnover. And Durant said it was just so effortless. He wasn't hunting assists. He was just playing in the flow of the game. Played like a perfect point guard tonight. Very nice compliment. And then in the second game, even better against the Jazz, 39-10-8 in a double OT game. He sealed it with baskets and free throws, and then he blocked Lauri Markkanen, who was trying to tie it with a three at the end of the second OT. First, it was called a foul on Kevin Durant.
That's right.
But then they went to Secaucus. As Kevin Durant said, he said, "I'm glad that they went to Secaucus." You don't hear players often say the word Secaucus.
Very true.
But that is where the referees look it through. And what do you guys think? Was that a block? It was Lauri Markkanen, a monstrous player, shooting a fade three. From the replay, it looked like he got the ball, but it was really tough to tell.
There's some hand on the hip, right?
Some hand on the hip on Markkanen catch, yeah.
Before, yes, right, leading into the shot. The actual shot itself, I think, was they probably got that part right. That did not seem like the actual foul, but you can get into like, hey, why do you can't guide him? You can't have your hand on his hip. Minimal, and that's what they decided. No, take it back. He's not going to the line. We want to get out of here. No triple overtime. What's with these two teams playing amazing games, though? Holy crap. Jazz and Suns, both games were super entertaining.
Yeah.
Very high scoring and super entertaining.
Oh, yeah. You must hate Kevin Durant if you're a Jazz fan. Guy went 38-9-9, then 39-8-10, and hit the exact same three-pointer off the left wing in both of these games to win, then perhaps got away with a foul at the end. But if you're Kevin Durant, you're saying, I remember game two of the 2012 NBA Finals. I went baseline LeBron. LeBron James had his hand on my hip when I rose for a jumper. No. Didn't call a foul.
No call.
Didn't call a foul. 11 years later in the exact same scenario.
Yes.
Same stakes and everything.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
So he's at about 31.5 per game scoring. Jeez. And I think without Beal there, he's just propelled into this MVP talk because Beal's not going to be there until, let's say, the second week of December where he's starting to flow into things. This is going to help him a little bit and helps that they win, helps that their defense isn't all that good for us. I think just watching them, because it's going to be a high-scoring basketball game. He's got 12 straight 25-point games. That's the longest active streak. That's what he does. And he came through with the defense. That block shot.
You sort of blew my mind when you said that KD should be in the MVP conversation. I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah.
Hadn't even considered it. Mm-hmm. You go through all the stats and obviously what he did over the weekend. I understand that. MVP tracker, Basketball Reference, doesn't have him in the top 10. Part of it's their record at 7-6, but that's how good the league is right now. KD's not even on the top 10 NBA MVP award tracker on Basketball Reference. Not even sniffing it. It's Jokic, Embiid, Gilgeous Alexander, Maxi, Sabonis, Tatum, Halliburton, Luka, Porzingis, and Giannis. But
that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of star players.
Where's
Fox?
Fox, yeah, hasn't,
come on, Mike
hasn't
Brown,
even qualified yet. Hasn't qualified. I don't think he's played enough games.
That's probably true.
All right, so KD gets it despite that controversial overruling, I guess, in the corner. And, you know, Jazz fans are going to be livid here.
Full name of the referee in the box score. I like that. I like seeing that. I mean, it was called, well, the fact that she made the call, you know, feet away. Mm-hmm. I guess she was calling the hip, right, rather than the foul on the wrist. But in Sea Caucus, I guess they didn't see either of that.
That's right. All right, KD gets a winner of the weekend. TK, who you got?
Oh, his former teammate. Twice, I guess. James Harden, he gets a win for this weekend. We said on Friday's show, it doesn't matter if it's the in-season tournament or not. The Clippers just needed a win.
Yep.
They got one, dramatic fashion, on the Clips Chips court Friday night. The Rockets were up 5 this game. 2 minutes and 20 seconds left in L.A. Clippers finished the game on a 12-1 run. That included Harden hitting a step-back 3 with the and one to break the tie with about 6 seconds left. Kawhi Leonard celebrated like he just hit a 4-bounce shot against the Philadelphia 76ers. He was pumped.
Yeah.
Interesting game, I think. Harden, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. Best game he's had so far for L.A. The starters were a plus 20 in 16 minutes. There is absolutely chemistry with Zubats at the very least, and they're starting to figure things out around Harden and around Kawhi Leonard as well, mainly because Russell Westbrook offered to come off the bench. Terrence Mann got the start. Westbrook kind of struggled coming off the bench, was pretty brutal in the fourth quarter, actually. 8 points in just 17 minutes, and Houston's bench outscored LA's. But you like seeing the players take the lead here, I do believe. At least Westbrook's coming out and saying, I'm going to answer this question before people start asking me this question every single night. Maybe it works out better coming down the line. At the very least, it feels like Harden is settling into his role, and maybe Westbrook will be able to figure things out coming off the bench. So a nice win for the Clippers, a nice win for Harden to actually do something.
Yeah, I like this move by Westbrook.
Yeah.
Going to the bench. It's sort of like, in a weird way, he couldn't lose by doing that move, by being proactive about it. Because he goes to the bench, mm-hmm. and they win. Oh, man, look at the leadership from this guy.
Selfless.
Thank you. Very selfless.
Sure.
He goes to the bench, and let's say they lose. Oh, geez, not my fault.
Totally.
You guys suck.
Very true.
So, sort of brilliant in that play. But, yeah, Harden definitely his best game here in L.A.
Yeah, and it's great for Russell Westbrook, too, because he's repeating what he did last year. This is exactly what he did last year. At some point, he just had the discussion with Darvin Ham in LA, and they said, you gotta go to the bench. And he did it. Terrence Mann taking his spot is a good move, because Terrence Mann, as good as Russell Westbrook is a little bit more energetic defensively to be defensive on that guy that he is guarding. And that was kind of a weird thing that was happening last year. With the Clippers. I said Darvin Ham. That was the wrong guy. Anyways, it was a weird thing because Russell Westbrook came to LA and just said, well, I'll take your spot. You know, that was weird that Terrence Mann was dropped out. Actually, Ham was the right guy. Anyways,
You were talking about when Westbrook was with the Lakers, and then
Ty Lue got me all over the place. Anyways, Terrence Mann was dropped out of the lineup last year. He's a good player. But this was a really, really good game, actually, for the Houston Rockets. Call it a good loss for the Houston Rockets. They go out on their road trip. They take the Clippers down to the line here. Tari Eason, what a dunk. Şengün, what a dunk. You got Daniel Theis helping out. You got Westbrook coming off the bench. You got Terrence Mann in the starting lineup. And then they went and had a game that we'll talk about very briefly with the Lakers. A decent road trip start, actually, for them. They look like a solid team.
A couple more winners. Karl-Anthony Towns, 29 points. 9 assists, 6 boards, as the Timberwolves used a fourth quarter rally to knock off the Pelicans. This was a really fun game. I thought this was one of the better games from the weekend. Cat hit a tough running floater off the glass with about 5 seconds to go to help Mini overcome what was a 14-point deficit with like 7 minutes and change to, again, beat New Orleans, 121-120. Rudy said it was one of the best games he's seen Cat play. Overall, Cat hit a huge 3 to give them the lead late, but the shot at the end was it was pretty awesome. The Pelicans broadcast, Tony O'Daniels, was like screaming like he wants to go right, he wants to go right, take away his right. Well, they did. He goes left, and cross body hits that tough floater off the glass. But he's on a heater right now. Cat is. I mean, there are a couple guys in this league. Randall, I would say Siakam. That really struggled out of the gate, but have now sort of found their way. And Kat's one of them. He started slowly, but he scored 26.7 points per game on nearly 60% shooting from the field over their last six. And he's hitting nearly 49% from deep, too. One of the greatest big men three-point shooters in NBA history, Karl-Anthony Towns. But this was that was a big shot. And they pulled out the victory. The Wolves are, like, pulling out some crazy wins here by the skin of their teeth.
Yes,
but
they are.
They're dubs in the column, and he's been special.
24-8-3, 50-40-90 for the month of November for Towns. He has figured out how to pick his spots alongside Anthony Edwards. He seems to have found his role. He's kind of like the number 1.5 right now. Like, Edwards is certainly the guy, but Towns is still an efficient scorer, and now that he's got his legs under him, has actually had a little time to play alongside Rudy Gobert. They're figuring it out. They're good enough offensively, and then defensively, they're a legit team.
They're awesome defensively. So if they figure out their offense, the defense isn't going to get any worse. They've been leading the league in defense all season. They kind of just dropped down to second. But Towns is feeling so good. Happy belated to Towns. I didn't think that he was 28 years old in 5 days. 28 in 5 days. I thought it was like over the weekend. These birthdays just keep coming. He went to
every
high
year, man.
Yeah, but I thought it was over the weekend.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they do come every year. It's entirely true. He was very happy, and he went to high school in Metuchen, New Jersey. Shout out to our man John Schumann, who loves Metuchen.
Oh, he does. Okay. Yeah. And they almost, the Wolves were helped out, oddly, in this game with Anthony Edwards picking up his sixth foul and going to the bench. Like, he was playing pretty aggressive defense. They let him get away with a couple bumps early in the possession. He was, like, locked in, and then he bumped a little too much. That gave him his sixth. But I say blessing in disguise because then there was no, like, well, who's taking the shot here? I mean, is it Ant? He's our guy. And you know he's fine taking it. Or is it Kat? Well, no Anthony Edwards. They go to Kat, who had been great. And again, tough floater as they beat the Pels there. Also, LeBron James, winner of the weekend. Did you guys see on Saturday, he shared a graphic to his Instagram stories showing how his 35 points against the Blazers the night before was the 108th time he topped the 30-point plateau since signing with LA as a free agent. The caption is what got everybody's attention, though. He said, "But I just came here to make movies, though. Ain't that what y'all said, right?" So he was asked about this.
I didn't say that.
No. He was asked, like, why did you? Oh, you didn't say that, right?
I didn't say that. It wasn't me.
Why
man.
Did you choose this moment to, like, clap back at critics? I guess some people did say that. And he said, because sometimes you need to remind folks. Mm-hmm. That's what LeBron told the reporters. Well, one thing to say it, another thing to show it. Because after that really good performance against the Blazers, he did it again, if not better, on Sunday. He scored a season-high 37 points, including the go-ahead free throw with less than 2 seconds remaining to lead the Lakers over the Rockets 105-104. LeBron, man, threw down a monster dunk late in the game, had 13 of his points in the fourth quarter, barely missing a shot. He got a tech for elbowing Dylan Brooks. Mm-hmm. He later dropped a too small gesture on him. And he is out there reminding us all, hey, I didn't come to LA just to make Space Jam, okay? It was just a convenience.
He's saying, forget about Space Jam. I did.
You forgot he was in Space Jam?
No, I remember, but I forget what happened. I do remember Algie Rhythm is in the mix.
Yes, he was cool.
LeBron did shoot a monster air ball and missed one of the two free throws.
He did.
Gave up quite a few buckets to Alperen Şengün down low. Şengün was hooping in this one. But yeah, this was a fun game, and thank you for the reminder, LeBron.
Is there a chance that he retires after this year? I know we all don't think it coming into the season. No chance, obviously. But being that it's year 21 and he's saying all these things just are kind of like, well, it's my last year. I better say stuff.
No, but because wouldn't LeBron before game one tell everybody it's my last year? And
yeah, that's true.
Shower me with praise. Make the documentary. Yeah,
he can get paid $50 million next year if he picks up his option. And he probably wants to play with his son. Great to see Bronny James warming up with USC.
That was another reason to give LeBron a winner of the weekend. Yeah, his son is out there with USC. First time, at least. Didn't play in the game, but first time actually going through warm-up since the cardiac arrest there in July after he suffered that. Also, LeBron, this blew my mind. LeBron's shooting 58.6% overall from the season through 13 games. That's better than his best career year with the Heat in 13-14. Obviously, a lot of basketball still to go, but he shot 56.7% that year. And he's hitting nearly 40% from three. Why? Everybody is hitting unbelievable numbers from three-point land right now.
Yes.
But that's not far off his best, which was 40.6, same year from distance. So, you know, LeBron is rarely a 40% three-point shooter. So that's a hell of a weapon to have there when you're in your 21. You're going to settle for something.
Great stat from Josh Eberle. Quick notes on LeBron's scoring this season. One, he's averaging more points per game, 26.4, than every other player who played 21 seasons did combined.
Wow.
That's Dirk, Kevin Garnett, Vince Carter, Kevin Willis, and Robert Parrish. They averaged 21.4 points per game combined in their 21st season. LeBron's at 26.4, and then, like you're saying, Skeets, number two, he's doing this with the highest true shooting percentage of his career.
That's pretty nuts. I mean, he does need to remind us with a caption every once in a while. Because we have forgotten.
Yeah.
New movie.
Yeah. Is that his most recent movie? He's like, I'm not making that many movies.
Yeah, what else was he in?
Trainwreck was pre.
That was a while back.
Pre Lakers.
The Schumer Show.
I can't think of any other.
I mean, he's producing a lot, I guess.
That's
true. Producing television shows.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
40 days till his birthday. he should be doing 40. Okay. It's exactly 40 till December 30th when he turns 39. Yeah. He should be posting other stuff.
Does that mean it's 40 days until your wife's birthday?
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. Sure, she's not as old as this guy. This guy's old. Yes. December 30th. What a day.
Excellent.
Who else? Who else? Is that a Tiger?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods, y'all. Yeah, wow. Yeah. What a day.
Big three.
That's right. LeBron, Tiger Woods, and Danny. I love it. Okay. We left a lot still out there in terms of winners of the weekend. Let us know which team, which players we missed. Let us know in the stream team. Obviously, tweet at us at NoDunksInc. You know, Cavs had a good weekend. A bunch of other teams and performances. Just couldn't get to it all. Going to take our first break. When we come back, NBA Weekend Losers.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
$1 per month. It's happening.
I definitely care about that one.
It's a good one.
Theathletic.com/NoDunks. Come on over.
$1 a month.
For 12 months.
Jesus.
That's good.
That's a good deal. That's incredible. I will say here, Jerome in a Slack said he shares a birthday with Carl Anthony Towns.
Wow.
Oh. November 15th.
No. Oh. Well, that sucks. So, I didn't say happy birthday to Jerome.
I know. I didn't even know. Happy belated birthday to our guy Jerome up in Toronto. Also, it makes a lot of sense why you took off the 15th now. I'm kidding, Jerome.
You thought it was just payday?
You had yourself a day.
Let's go.
Maybe. All right. Happy belated birthday to Jerome and Kat. Okay. NBA weekend losers. Tass, what do you want to start with here? Who or what or why?
It's odd to me because I think we're all winners for watching the in-season tournament. Everybody is into it. Players are into it. Players are going hard. Some call it the playoffs. Some said it this weekend. It feels like a playoff atmosphere.
Yeah, they did.
But when you go hard like it's the playoffs, you might slip when it's slippery. Mm. There is some slipping going on in-season tournament games.
Yep.
Here are some quotes. Jaylen Brown on the court in Toronto. We've got to make sure the floor is safe to play on. We can't put our players out there and risk their health. Tonight, I thought the floor was kind of unacceptable. I think they need to make sure that's the emphasis before somebody gets seriously hurt. Precious Achiuwa on the same court. It was slippery. I fell myself a few times. A couple of times, I ended up on the floor. Luca also talked about a place he played in last Tuesday, New Orleans. He said, I mean, outside of all the courts, I think the court today was really bad. It was really slippery, and in some places, the ball didn't really bounce. If we're going to have these courts, we need to make sure that it's a stable court. Now, I don't think there's been any injuries whatsoever. Because out of that Jaylen Brown report out of Toronto, people said he might have strained his groin. The court was slippery all game, as he said. He didn't, because he played in the next game. He was fine. But there is a lot of paint on these courts, and maybe that's the slippery part, because we are getting more and more conversations about it. Precious Achiuwa, again, that's his home court. Yeah. That is his home team that he said he fell a few times because of the slipperiness. So I'm going to say it's a loser, although luckily nobody at all has been added to the injury report.
Yeah,
but people are talking about it, so I think we should talk about it.
People are talking. Yeah. That's why it's got to be a loser of the weekend, because even if it's not the courts that are slippery, if you slip on a court and it's the in-season tournament court, you're blaming the new paint.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a tough spot for the NBA, because they're like, if anybody falls at all on a Tuesday or a Friday, it's the court's problem. Yeah. And that's what people are going to blame.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point. The Luka blaming New Orleans, saying, I couldn't even bounce the ball on the court. Also interesting.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't install it correctly or something like that.
Yeah. So then you start to believe it, because it is a different court than they usually have.
Yeah.
So.
These guys are very anal, though. Let's not forget that. You know, they're professional athletes. However the ball feels, the temperature of the ball, temperature of the plate, whatever, the court, all this, you know, the slipperiness or the non-slipperiness, the type of shoes, blah, 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 blah. I mean, they're going to pick them on every little detail. Yeah, I'm sure it's different. It's weird to hear, like, there's maybe some dead spots. I don't get why that would be happening, again, outside of an installation error, but I think it adds to the fun. I got out to a run at Trey on Thursday night and his crew. Some dead spots on that floor.
Oh, yeah. A lot of dead spots.
Like some really crazy ones.
Yeah, it's fun to figure out where they're going to be. You want to do a post move from the right block? You better slam it,
yeah,
buddy.
Totally.
So maybe it'll be like a home court advantage. You learn the dead spots on your in-season tournament court and just direct your defender there. Drop the banana peel on him and go to the hoop.
Yeah, we used to do that when I in high school, when I was on the grade 9 team. So we had two gyms, a real good gym, normal gym.
A good gym.
And then we had a really crappy, like, basement gym. Like, it was a dungeon. So we, you know, because we were grade 9, freshmen, we had to always play down there. Yeah. We'd play our games down there. It was a tiny gym. Weird, like, track that would, like, if you took a jumper from the corner, it would, like, hit the track. Like,
ooh,
it was like,
overhead track is a weird one.
But anyway, the point was dead spots all over the place. And we would, like, get good at, like, direct them there. And the ball's just going to drop. And it worked. So maybe that's what's going on here. Some shenanigans with the slipperiness and the dead spots.
Shenanigans.
What was your pregame music when you're in eighth grade?
Oh, DMX.
Oh. That was the official pregame music of the late 90s, I think.
Hell yeah, man.
We got to shut them down and open up shop. We're not doing just one of them.
Oh, I thought you got some bare naked ladies in there. This is me in grade 9, baby. Yeah, this is me in grade 9. This is me in grade 9. Or pulled out some bananas like you're racing in Mario Kart.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways, I will say, just to mention Toronto's court on Friday.
Yeah, what do you think?
How spectacular. Our man Jerome was filming. I thought the head up, the bird's eye view of the whole court looked great. Once you got to playing, once you got down low, do you want to be running on those black painted areas? I guess I bring up both ways, because the single cam, the broadcast angle, looked really good. I thought it looked really good.
Well, I'll push back on that. It did look cool, obviously, like up in the upper bowl or whatever on camera, like your normal shot that you see in a game. But did you see the reflection from like the Jumbotron or whatever on the one side, because it was the black paint?
Yes. A bit shiny.
It was a little distracting. I don't think for the players down there, but like just for our angle.
The lights, you couldn't get around it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't. So I didn't love that part, but.
Yeah. There's a lot of paint. There's a lot of paint on 30 courts. that reflect.
30 would you, quarts worth of paint.
Yeah, would you rather just play on the wood like they always did? Like Koozie did. I think that's the way to go.
I'm loving this. I'm loving these crazy courts, man. We've talked so much about them.
We've talked a lot about courts. Yeah. Talked a ton about courts. I think I'm kind of with Taz. I think they last 1 year.
That's interesting.
That's too much of a distraction. And if people are complaining, and literally every single week it's something, like the three-point line was messed up, the Mavs couldn't use their court, we got slippering. Slipping. I just think they'll save it for Vegas next season.
Maybe. I just think we're gonna get a whole new batch of courts, and maybe they won't be. Maybe they won't be as extreme in their design.
Perhaps,
but there will be an element that like ties them all together, or at least when you tune in, you know. I guess. All right, who else do you have for an NBA weekend loser?
Trey? Yeah, I got a rare double loser here. It goes to both teams in the Heat versus Bulls game on Saturday night. Bulls started this game down 22-1. They missed their first 10 shots. They didn't make their first shot until 7 minutes into the game, and they won this game.
Yeah.
So, loser to the Bulls for the start, loser to the Heat for the end. The Bulls got hot from three eventually. They finished 16 of 45, took their first lead in the final minute of this game after a big Alex Caruso three. Jimmy Butler answered that with a three of his own. But then DeMar DeRozan won it with a veteran chip kind of midi jumper over Jaime Jaquez Jr., a couple of free throws, some Jimmy Butler missed threes later. The Heat 7-game win streak is jover, but I didn't feel like either team won this game. The Bulls technically won this game, but afterwards there was some drama with Zach LaVine hustling off court. He didn't want to talk to PR, said it was a miscommunication afterwards. But it just kind of fed into the feeling like though the Bulls came back and somehow won this game, they didn't really win it because it's feeling like this will be a long month if Zach LaVine is going to be traded. Because the teams that want him, all the players they can offer, aren't going to be available to be traded until December 15th. And the past three games since the news came out has shown the Bulls to get blown out in the first half of this game. They scored 33 in the first half of consecutive games to the Magic. Then they come back and get close. They finally pulled out a win against the Heat, but they can't get down 20 points in the first half and the first quarter of every one of these games for the next month. That's crazy. Otherwise, they're just going to have to like send LaVine somewhere he doesn't want to go, and that maybe wouldn't be the best package if they don't want to wait for an entire month.
Yeah, he doesn't like the way he's being asked about the trade over and over again since it was made 3 games ago. They're just asking about him. Just, hello, you are in front of the microphone. Please talk about being traded. He doesn't like it. And Bulls fans don't either. There was some chants after that one loss to the Orlando Magic. Fire Billy. About Billy Donovan, head coach Billy Donovan. Things aren't starting well. The 33 points, that's just hard to do. And they did it
twice.
Multiple times.
That's amazing. Yeah. Twice.
Yeah.
Back-to-back jacks.
And they still beat the Heat, though.
Still beat the Heat?
Weird. Would you? Can I get your take on this drama of Zach LaVine leaving the court and not wanting to talk, I guess, to Bulls broadcast or radio or whatever the heck he was going to be asked to do?
He said miscommunication. This obviously doesn't happen with LaVine very much, but there have been rumors for quite some time that, A, he's been mad at Billy Donovan benching him against the Hornets, like, in 2022. I think that's what it was, a couple of years ago. And then, like, he'll have a good game going, and DeRozan gets the last shot of the game.
Right.
And that seems to rankle LaVine, so I don't know. I do think he's mad. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt since he's been a pretty good dude since being in Chicago and has gone through a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm with Tass. It's pretty clear that LaVine isn't happy in Chicago right now. He's basically called out Billy Donovan a few times. And if he's holding this grudge from years ago, despite the fans chanting fire Billy, the Bulls don't move all that quickly with executive decisions like that. So I think Billy likely sticks around, which is pretty crazy. The guy left OKC because he didn't want to rebuild. And we're talking about they've got a potential two MVPs already back in town. Meanwhile, the Bulls are melting down a little bit here.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Name that extension.
Yes, I think it kicked in this year.
Ooh, yeah. Well timed.
Lock them down,
well
baby.
Timed, Billy. Yeah. All right, a loser of the weekend to the Detroit Pistons. The Raptors crushed them on Sunday. Weird 4 o'clock start. You could tell the Pistons were not comfortable with that time. Raptors handed them their 11th consecutive loss. That one snuck up on me. I did not realize that the Pistons had lost 10 games going into Sunday's game in Toronto. Make it 11. The Raptors recorded a franchise record 44 assists. They finished with more assists than Detroit had made baskets. And Detroit is now 2-12. They haven't won since they beat the Bulls in late October.
I remember that.
Yeah. When they were looking like, ooh, all right, there's something here. You know, some young talent. All right, Monty Williams got them going. I mean, and then the next week they like lost a bunch of games, but they were in them. And you're like, oh, yeah, they're pretty good bad team. Now they're just a bad, bad team. And it's the vibes are brutal. You know, Cade had an okay game. He was really the only one that played all that well. They have a lot of injuries. There was no Duren. There's, I guess, no Killian Hayes, if you think that matters. Bogdanovich hasn't played. You know, Joe Harris, a shooter, is not playing. But still, they're just getting punked. And I just don't know what they're doing either. They have no shooting around Cade Cunningham. Like, the makeup of this team, again, those guys are out. Maybe they help if Bogey and Joe's there. But, like, they're just like high screen and roll for Cade Cunningham. And it's like, well, what's he going to do? He's like, he's not like a Luka level yet, or probably never will be. So, you know, he's not James Harden. So it's because he can't shoot all that much. So I don't know. It's bad. There's nothing going on with this team. Offensively, it's a tough, tough watch. And they got punked.
Great quote from Cade. It's hard to just be like, we're good. We're good. You know what I'm saying? Because we're bad. We have to address that. I agree. It's hard to see, though, where the help comes, because Cade is obviously not able to carry it himself right now. He's having a really poor season, and the personnel is not good around it. Like you're saying, their best shooters are Alec Burks and Bogdanovich, who aren't necessarily reliable. We haven't even seen Bogdanovich yet. They've looked their best when Jalen Duren has been around, but he's had trouble sticking on the court. It just feels like the Pistons are cruising to a good draft pick again this season.
I was, they definitely are. I was incredibly surprised by that losing streak because people are so excited for Ausar Thompson, even Killian Hayes, but things have come back to earth.
Yeah.
And Cade Cunningham's turnover total, which we've talked about, which was huge, it's lowering a little bit. It's close to 5. That's a lot.
He's like, why try and pass to these guys? They're not going to score. Yeah. I'm just going to turn it over, maybe.
They don't have one, yeah. If Bojan Bogdanovic is out there, okay, things change. But he is not. He's injured. This has got to be the year that they trade him. You got to assume. And Alec Burks coming off the bench is the other one. That's it. I mean, you got the beef. Isaiah Stewart hits threes.
You got the beef.
He's actually a very good three-point shooter this season. That's surprising. But they signed him to that extension. I don't know what this Pistons team. This is you're right. They're going to keep losing.
To sort of meld those last two losers of the weekend together, we talked a lot about Zach LaVine trades on a pod last week. I know Sam Vecenie had a post up over the weekend. He had some more deals. One of them involved the Bulls trading Zach LaVine to the Pistons for Joe Harris and that expiring contract. James Wiseman, you know, maybe as a flyer, but really he's just thrown in there. And then Jaden Ivey as the young prospect. Do you have any opinions on that potential framework of a Pistons-Bulls trade where Zach LaVine, I mean, it would be sort of a panic trade if we're being honest for Detroit a little bit.
Yeah.
But we just went over, they need some scoring, they need some shooting. What do you think?
I would do it if I'm the Bulls.
Yeah.
Getting Ivy back, I think, would be a good get, a good, like, buy low candidate since he seems to be out of the rotation with Detroit and would be a young player to really take a chance on. Harris and Wiseman are definitely just salary filler to me. And it's a deal that could be done right now, which I think is big for the Bulls, is that they could actually get it done before December 15th when everybody else is eligible, which maybe puts Detroit kind of like in the driver's seat for this because they have perhaps the most attractive trade assets up until then. But you're 100% right. This would be a nasty, nasty panic trade
for
Detroit.
For Detroit.
Do it, I think.
The Bulls fan says, go ahead and do it. All right, so Pistons get a loser of the weekend. Trey, let's go back to you. Who else you got?
I'm giving Marcus Smart a loser of the weekend, but really it's for the Memphis Grizzlies because Smart got hurt during the week last week, but we found out over the weekend he's going to miss 3 to 5 weeks with a sprained left foot. So Ja Morant still hasn't played. He's halfway through his suspension, 13 games. We haven't seen Steven Adams or Brandon Clark yet. Smart is now joining Luke Kennard, Jake LaRavia, and Xavier Tillman on the bench for the Grizzlies. They're so shorthanded, Skeets. I was watching the game last night. I thought I was watching Cleveland play baseball in the 1990s. A lot of Kenny Lofton.
Oh.
I was like, can we get somebody besides Kenny Lofton out here? No.
No, they don't have it.
No, they literally don't have anybody else. It was like Vince Williams had a nice game for Memphis in the loss against the Celtics. Jacob Gilliard was out there. They almost stole one. Santi Aldama, career high 28 points, career high 6 threes, had a good look to win the game, but clanked it off. It's just tough out here for the Grizzlies. They're 3-10. Ja comes back in another 12 games. They could be looking at last place in the Western Conference. I mean, they're there right now. The Spurs are really struggling. I think they've lost, what, 8 straight or something like that at this point. But there's not much offense. There's not much going on, period, for the Grizzlies right now. It's like Desmond Bane just chucks a three anytime he has an opportunity because that's basically their best shot. They got Jaren Jackson Jr. bringing the ball up the court like their point guard since Smart is out. And like I said, it was like you're choosing between Lofton and David Roddy to close the game last night. That's a tough spot to be in. You want that to be your choice for the eighth or ninth man off the bench, not a closer.
Totally. I love these names coming, though. Vince Williams, Kenny Lofton. I like them. It was actually a good loss, being that it's a two-point loss to a Boston Celtics team, and the Grizzlies were coming off a back-to-back after beating the Spurs. But no, this is going to be hard to come back from when Ja comes back, as given the math there, 12 games left. They're going to be bad. This West is tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough.
How much will they lean into? Yeah, don't worry about this season. It's a lost season. Tank away, boys.
Tank away, boys.
Or would that be almost silly? Because now with the way that obviously the draft goes down, it's not like you need to have the worst record overall. Don't worry, you'll probably be in the mix. Get reps with Ja. Get reps with some of these guys coming back. And obviously just try and almost like a very long camp for next season. Is that the way to maybe approach it?
I guess we'll see what happens over the next month. Right now they're, what, 3 games out of the 10th seed? I mean, it's too early to be looking at playoff standings, but Golden State is obviously struggling right now. The Pelicans haven't really established themselves. I assume that the Suns will get better as the year goes on, but Beal's missing some time, so they're probably going to play in a lot of shootout games that could go either way. We saw the Clippers, huge losing streak. They're maybe starting to put things together, but definitely not settled. So Memphis could be hunting around the play-in. Is that where they want to be? I don't know. They always tend to have pretty solid luck drafting in the middle to the late parts of the first round, but we're seeing all those guys are pretty good players when they're not being asked to be the best player on the team. So I don't know. All it takes is like a 5-game win streak when Ja comes back and you're back in the mix for a play-in spot at least. I don't know.
3 games out of the play-in. That's good that you brought that up because that's what it is designed for. It's for these 11th, 12th, and 13th place teams to get their fans into the arenas. You said baseball and Kenny Lofton, that's exactly what's happening in baseball as well. Not so many teams making the playoffs, but you have life for a longer period of time. Right. And Ja Morant ain't going to let this team just die. He's not. That's not how Ja Morant lives. There's no chance he comes in here and says, oh, we're a crappy team.
Right, right.
I'm just going to be injured for another 30 games. He's going to come back and try and lead this team. And if they're only 3, 4, 5 games out, Ja could pull him back. That's totally true.
It's a fair point about like the addition of the weighted draft lottery and the addition of the play-in tournament. It's like 10 years ago, whatever. This season's a wrap. It's done. It's like, no, it's over. Like you Pistons or Hornets, you guys are already done. That may be how it still goes, but you know, those additions, it does change how the dynamics of how you at least continue your season and hopefully try and stay competitive because you've got a chance to get in or it doesn't have a huge, huge effect on your draft pick. So good points. All right. Final loser of the weekend to the NBA for telling LaMelo Ball he must cover up his neck tattoo. This is wild. So the NBA told LaMelo, you got to cover up that tat there on your neck. That's violating the league's policies regarding the display of corporate logos. You see it there. It's a red LF under Ball's left ear. That's the tat in question. Now, the initials stand for LaFrance, which is not only his middle name, but here's the problem, the name of his lifestyle fashion brand, which he launched in 2020. So the NBA spokesman, Tim Frank, said, you know, per the CBA, players are prohibited from displaying commercial logos or corporate insignia on their body or in their hair during games. Didn't know that about that hair part. We try to enforce the rule reasonably in accordance with the purpose and taking into account players' efforts to express themselves in a non-commercial manner. But LaMelo Ball's neck tattoo is in the obvious violation of the rule. So Ball's camp says, you guys inconsistently enforce this. And there's now a photo of a Band-Aid slapped on it to cover it. He had a white one the game before. He's been doing this for a couple of games now. He might have a point, though. Like, it is funny. He has a very similar tattoo, I believe, on his hand already. And, you know, NBA doesn't care about that. Mm. I think it's just so it's so prominent. Yeah. It's so easy to see that LF by the neck or by the ear or whatever. They're telling him to cover it up. I don't know. They're going to, I guess, sort of fight this. But for the most part, he's covering it up right now. His brother had to do something similar with the Big Baller Brand tattoo back in the day. But I give the NBA a loser of the weekend. It's like it's just drawing more attention to it. I don't know.
Yeah. So LaMelo might be happy about it.
Right. It's good for business. You're right. Right. Also, I mean, it is his middle name. It's his initials.
Nobody knows that's a brand logo.
I know.
Does he do like a reveal every post game in the interview? He's like, check out LaFrance.com.
That might be cool. Black Friday sales at LaFrance.com. Yeah, it's just it's one of these things like they're giving more attention to it. Yeah. It's like, who really cares? Also, nobody's watching the Hornets.
Yeah. I guess what the NBA is working towards, because they took some time to actually say that this was incorrect or this was against the rules.
Yeah.
They could have done it last year if they wanted. I guess the NBA is just trying to make sure that in years to come that a player won't just say, oh, yeah, this is my brand, and just shove an acronym. Yeah.
That's fair. Exactly what this is, not to bring up the slippery courts again, but it's a slippery slope. This is why they have this rule. You're right. Yeah. Someone gets wild and is like, oh, Pornhub's going to pay me $1 million to slap a Pornhub logo on my neck. Okay. Yeah, sure, I'll take it. And it's like, oh, okay, now we have an issue. And that's why LF or LaFrance or whatever, yeah, it's your middle name. Sorry, man, we can't do that because we don't want to open up that Pandora's box. But, I don't know.
So what happened to Sheed? So somebody asked Sheed if they would allow them to sponsor a tattoo, basically put a teat on it. Was it Skittles? It's
really?
It's not really bouncing into my brain.
Skittles?
It was a candy.
Sheed Wallace,
it was
really?
A candy that he liked with a passion.
Sheedish what? Fish?
The way you said it made it 100 times funnier, too. Sheedish fish is pretty good.
Oh, you went for it.
Sheedish fish. Maybe somebody can let us know in the stream team. Maybe it's Skittles. I don't know, Tass. I actually don't really...
Sheedish fish is probably it.
I don't think so.
Skeets, you want to get this? It's on onelafrance.com. It's called a Mellow Mask. It looks like a spandex lycra mask with LaMelo's face on the front, and on the back it says one of one.
Oh. Sure. I mean, well, he should have the LF tattoo on the part of the mask.
Yeah, they got to update it.
Yeah.
Definitely got to put it on the side.
All right. You tell us your thoughts on the NBA cracking down on LaMelo's tat. I know I took a shot there at Hornets fans. Nobody watches this team. They are pretty crappy.
Sad.
LaMelo's killing it.
He's
on
right
fire
now.
Man, his stats are wild, but that team blows them. Oh my god, them, look, like them, the Pistons, and who's the third team? The Wizards. Oh my goodness. You should have to get in on this weird bet we got where the of those crappy teams, the team with the worst record has to chug a bunch of
nut dust.
And so he has
I have the Hornets.
I have the Wizards. Yeah. You should have to take
give me the Pistons, the nut Pistons. Dust. I'm happy.
You want in?
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. I was with Trey at the zoo this past weekend and he was looking for nuts. Roasted nuts.
Spiced nuts.
Spiced nuts.
Oh.
I would have been excited to have spicy nuts.
Looking for the animals' nuts.
Oh, we saw the panda's nuts, just to determine if it was a male or female.
He showed me a photo of a panda. It looked like that thing was dead. Did anybody poke that thing with a stick?
No, it couldn't. Its butt was against the glass. I was going to say its glass was against the butt. But anyways, yeah, that panda was just sleeping.
Yeah, it was a little lazy panda.
They are, aren't they? Notoriously lazy.
Notoriously lazy, yeah.
And you said those are the last two giant pandas in America?
I think there's actually four, but I think there's two parents, two babies.
All here in Atlanta?
The last four that are in the United States, they're all going back home to China.
Damn, wow. Yep. Wow. So you went and saw them while you could.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're both sleeping. Got to go back and see them during the daytime.
We all ate pan
Wake
dust.
All right. Tass has been folded into
I'm
the
in,
nut
I'm in.
Dust.
You know what's surprising? They're only one loss less. They only have one loss less than both the Wizards and the Hornets. That's surprising. Although they are, they played more games. But yeah, they stink bad.
How much have they played each other? Those are the real games that matter. I know our two teams played a couple times.
Yeah, those are big games.
But I think they split them, didn't they? I think they did. Like two nuts, they split them. All right, we got to take one more break. When we come back, tweet of the night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Killing the cha-chinks. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Tweet of the Night comes from Rosalorisus.
Yep.
I think I got that second one right. They tweeted this photo, and it just says, I have so many questions. So we are showing you a Toronto Raptors bootleg shirt, okay? It's got a bunch of players on it. Current players, Scotty Barnes, OG, Pirtle. Champions like Kyle Lowry, Van Vliet, Serge Ibaka. And then there are two final interesting selections. There's Leandro Barbosa, okay, all right, and Jarrett Jack, who's featured quite prominently on the shirt.
Almost the star, I would say.
I would say it's built around Jarrett Jack.
And
that's a wild shirt. That's why this guy has so many questions. I love it. Jack played under 100 games for the Raptors. He played for the 2009-2010 Raptors mainly, which went 40-42 under Jay Triano. Little trivia. Can you name any other players from the 2009-2010 Raptors? Tess, we probably, did we have season tickets? Were we sharing season tickets by then still?
Probably.
We probably saw some of these games. Any other names you want to name?
Lindsey Hunter?
No.
Mm. Bargnani? No.
Yep.
Oh, Chris Bosh.
Hell yeah.
Hadn't left yet.
That was the year.
Yep. Yeah, you don't. There's
Jose.
Jose. That's right.
Oh, 9, Ball. 10.
Hito. Was that the year? Oh, yeah. He got the biggest free agent that year. His name was Hito Turkoglu. Then they got rid of him.
Yeah, okay.
Also, Jarrett Jack played with.
They had a young DeRozan.
He was 20 years old.
And then this is some other fun names. Give you a second if you want.
Oh, we're just going deep on the 09-10 team?
Yeah. I mean, I love that you know all these players.
Mo Pete?
They're my friends.
No Mo Pete.
Nah.
No, they got rid of
Antoine Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Sonny Weems.
Weems.
Amir Johnson. I thought you might get Amir. Marco Bellinelli. Marcus Banks. Reggie Evans. Rasho Nesterovich. Pops Mencha Bonsu. And Patrick O'Brien.
Patrick O'Brien. Yeah. Nice one.
Yeah, those
Reggie
all,
Evans.
All your Raptors players.
Loved
a
pizza
2010 season. But yeah, Jarrett Jack on that that shirt.
So, do you have a favorite Jarrett Jack moment from his time with the Raptors?
Yeah.
Didn't he? Was it against the Bulls that he tied his shoe for, like, during a game?
Was that him?
I think it was him. Jarrett Jack tying his shoe, and the Bulls just, like, watch him.
That sounds right.
20 seconds.
Yeah. Well, Jarrett Jack, we said, maybe the star of that shirt, but I did sneak in a Barbosa there. He is on that photo, and Jerome let us know that he has a photo of Barbosa. He has this giant poster. That I guess when he was interning with the Raps, they were getting rid of some of this stuff. So he took it to give away to a friend, and there he is, a young Jerome on the TTC with a Barbosa pick.
That looks like more than a poster. It looks like a placard or a,
yeah.
You know, it's like
yeah,
a,
that's nice.
Printed.
Particle board.
That must have been hanging in a hallway somewhere or something like that.
That's pretty sweet.
Good photo there. Thanks for that, Jerome. If anybody knows where I can get that that T-shirt, though, let me know.
That's a cool shirt.
I want that.
Good weird shirt.
All right.
Some Raptors I like.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm literally just watching an NBA TV Canada old commercial of just old Raptors that they cut together.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want some names? Just some great.
I did see Lindsay Hunter.
Did Jared Jack make it in the cut?
He didn't. He was cut. Onto the editing floor. Menk Bato, if you remember him. Oh, classic. Lindsey Hunter, John Wallace, Tracy Murray, Chauncey Billups, Lauren Woods, John Sally, Willie Anderson.
Willie Anderson.
This is how every episode of Six Trophies ends.
Who is it?
They just name guys.
That's true.
Literally.
That's how we're ending
today.
Good,
yeah.
It is fun.
Sean Marks, Carlos Rogers, Keon Clark, Hubert Davis, Corliss Williamson, Garth Joseph, Carlos Arroyo, Eric Montrose, Jimmy King, Chris Childs, and
Donyell Marshall. Is that Donyell at the end?
Is that a Rager Mason? Roger Mason.
Garth Joseph.
Roger Mason. Yeah. He played for the Bulls, didn't he?
Yeah. I think
Walt Williams.
Wow, that's a bunch of Raptors names for you. What a way to end this.
I can't believe there's a guy named Garth Joseph. Garth Snow plus Curtis Joseph. Oh, this guy's got a sick glove.
Who did Garth Snow play for? The Islanders?
I don't know. Oilers?
Yeah, Islanders.
Wow.
Did Curtis Joseph play for Islanders? I don't know.
Well, Corey Joseph played
Curtis
for...
Curtis Joseph?
Curtis Joseph, sorry.
Yeah,
he played
for
the
cat.
Leafs.
No,
yeah.
That was Felix Boston.
Felix Boston. All right, guys. Wow, what a wild ending to this one. Winners and losers of the NBA weekend, let us know who we missed. I will encourage you to go check out the new Is This Good podcast that just went up today. Got a few no dunkies on there. Skeets and Trey.
What's this photo?
I know.
It's like a 2018 All-Star game.
Look how this photo is.
Taken by somebody 2 feet tall.
Yeah, we're looking like Jerome on the TTC. In this but this was a very fun episode where Trey and I are talking with Matty O and JD about a lot of things. It's a Thanksgiving special, really. And you see there the main topic, Thanksgiving versus Christmas. Good debate right off the jump of this podcast. Which one is better? So go check that out. Is This Good? It's on YouTube feed. It's on podcast feed. Download and subscribe to that. That was a really, really fun one. There's some very funny moments. You might think I was going to ask you, are you team Thanksgiving or Christmas? But I was actually going to ask you, are you team innie or outie belly button?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Because we debated that.
It's a very rivalry, estric debate. I'm an innie man. I'm not an outie man.
You are personally an innie man and also team innie?
This is a very,
very
personal question.
Question, yes.
I'm all about the innie. All about the innie.
I'm team innie too.
Are we talking about what we have or what we wish we had? Because I feel like a belly button is like hair. If you have curly hair, you want straight hair. If you have straight hair, you want curly hair. If you have an innie, you want an outie. That's not true. Everybody wants an innie.
You're saying the belly button is always the opposite on the other side of the fence.
The grass is always greener on the other side of the belly button.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, we talked about that too, so go check that out. We'll be back tomorrow. No Tassie tomorrow, but we have a special guest filling in for Tass, and then you're back on Wednesday. Short week this week because of Thanksgiving, but we'll have a banger tomorrow, so make sure you join us live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
The in-season tournament, also a banger. Remember, it's got the players playing. This is a quote. It was a playoff mentality from Daniel House. Jeez, I can't talk. Of the Philadelphia 76ers. It was a playoff mentality here in November. It's working, everybody. It's working.
I thought for sure you were going to make an outie joke with the in-season tournament. I was convinced, like, this is going to be good.
You think every player in the in-season tournament has to have an innie? That's the thing? That would be weird.
You think Silver has an outie or an innie? Think about that. Embrace the day, people.
Mm-hmm.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.